Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Someone did the math on the basis of current demographics in the country and the profile of the ELCA, sent me the date and the time in 2046 when the ELCA would cease to exist. It'd be a fine way for me to spend my 100th birthday, wouldn't it? Blowing out the last candle.
Well, that's Presiding Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, Bishop Mark Hansen, recently opining about the future of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. It's far from diminishing to microscopic proportions. It's still the largest Lutheran church body in the United States, and they begin next week their churchwide assembly. They have several things they're going to be talking about, but the thing that most people are hearing about, of course, are the views on human sexuality and institutionalizing some of those new views on human sexuality within the Lutheran, this Lutheran church in America. Pastor Mark Chavez will join us here for the first part of this hour of Issues, Etc., to talk about what's coming up in that assembly. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. It's Friday afternoon, the 14th of August. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. After our interview on the Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, we'll talk to Dr. Miriam Grossman about sex education, the lies that your children are already receiving, even at tender young ages, about sex and their futures. Pastor Mark Chavez is a regular guest. He's vice president of an ELCA reform group called Word Alone Network. Mark, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be with you again.
Well, there will be some headlines about the Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America late next week. What do you expect it to read 1 week from today regarding their assembly?
I really can't predict and wouldn't try to. I think at this point anything could happen next week, and we're all praying and hoping and working that the ELCA will remain faithful to its own confession of faith and not isolate itself from most other Lutheran churches around the world, not to mention most of the Christian church in the world.
What's the danger here? What's the subject that puts the ELCA in danger of that kind of isolation?
It's two proposals. One is a social statement on sexuality, and then separate from it are four resolutions that, if approved, would call for a change in the ELCA's policies to allow for practicing homosexuals to serve as ordained pastors and also rostered lay ministers. The social statement, unfortunately, opens the door not only to same-sex sexual relationships, but other sexual relationships and behaviors outside of marriage, and completely departs from any Lutheran understanding of what Luther meant at the Diet of Worms when he said that his conscience was captive to the Word of God. This social statement and the four resolutions come up with a completely novel definition of the bound conscience, in which our consciences are not supposed to be captive to God's Word, but instead we bind them to each other's consciences and respect our disagreements.
So how far does this social statement go? Be more specific.
Well, it tries to say, you know, this is what the church teaches, but then in the next sentence goes on to describe the diversity not only within our denomination in terms of what people think and believe, but also within our culture. So, you know, it will say that marriage is, you know, a man and a woman, but then talks about other relationships such as senior citizens who are widowed and would suffer economic losses if they were to marry, and says, you know, we shouldn't have sex outside of marriage. But this is what happens in our culture. So it never actually bears witness to the clear words in Scripture that none of us are supposed to have sex outside of marriage or even think about it.
On the issue of whether or not these things will be institutionalized, in particular, the open and fully approved ordination of practicing gay and lesbian people, a recent survey, Clergy Voices survey is what it's called, from May 2009, found that 54% of the clergy in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America support ordination, quote-unquote, with no special requirements for people who are gay or lesbian, according to that survey in May. What's your reaction?
Well, I think that some people ought to do some digging into how that survey came about. One of our leaders has done some preliminary research, and the survey was funded by a wealthy family who's openly in favor of same-sex sexual relationships and approving of them inside churches. And, you know, it was a random telephone survey, supposedly, of 300 and some ELCA pastors. I just wonder how accurate it is. On the other hand, I do know that other surveys that I find far more trustworthy show that clergy in general, and this would be true for ELCA pastors, tend to be much more disregarding of Scripture on these matters than lay people. But I would like to believe that it certainly isn't 50% of ELCA pastors who want to ignore God's clear word in the Bible.
How did the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, it's not a very old church body, but we're talking about the late 80s, mid-80s, when it kind of began to form itself together. How did it get to the point that other denominations, I'm thinking here about the Episcopal Church USA, spent a fairly large number of decades coming to the point where they're seriously considering the ordination of openly gay and lesbian individuals?
Well, there were troubling signs already in the three church bodies that formed the ELCA in 1988. So even if there hadn't been the formation of the new church then, I think that all three of those former Lutheran church bodies would essentially be in the same place as the ELCA, maybe not quite so far down the same path towards the edge of the cliff like the Episcopal Church and the United Church of Christ, but certainly well on its way. What happened was is that the homosexual activists took advantage of the merger, and they were quite successful in getting people entrenched in leadership, especially in the churchwide offices in Chicago and in some key offices. The Church and Society office in particular has always been completely in favor of this, and the first presiding bishop, Herbert Chilstrom, was and was known to be as a Lutheran Church in America or LCA Synod Bishop for years prior to the formation of the ELCA. So they were well organized, and they took advantage of kind of a vacuum in leadership and some appointment possibilities, and little by little over the year have been successful in getting other people elected or appointed into position. But the reality is that this erosion has taken place in throughout our culture and in all denominations, including the Roman Catholic Church. So none of us are immune to it. It's something that we have to deal with on every front.
Is it true that, not in an official way, but in an unofficial and unsanctioned way, there already have been ordinations, well-known ordinations of openly gay or lesbian people to the pastoral office in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
Yes, there have been very public ordinations of practicing homosexuals. Most of those ordinations have not been recognized by the ELCA, so they're not listed as pastors of the ELCA, but in most cases, not all. The synodical bishops did not discipline the congregations who went ahead and ordained these people in any significant way. There are a few exceptions. Particularly in one of the Southern California synods where congregations and individuals have been disciplined. But there are a number of synodical bishops in the ELCA who ignore these ordinations and do nothing about it. There are also a handful of people who are on the roster who have come out somewhat publicly, and in some cases, again, not all, but in some cases, the synodical bishops have chosen not to file discipline charges and remove them from the ELCA's clergy roster.
If the headline 1 week from today does read, Lutherans vote to approve gay ordination, what will that mean for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America? 1 minute before our break.
It will mean that it will suddenly accelerate, and it's already accelerating decline in terms of loss of members and loss of financial support from its members and congregations. It'll go down the same path as the Episcopal Church and the United Church of Christ.
When we come back from this break, we'll have 10 more minutes with Pastor Mark Chavez, vice president of an ELCA reform group called Word Alone Network. Well, I mean, we've seen what's happened in the Episcopal Church USA, in the United Church of Christ, and we're seeing what's happening not only in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, but the Presbyterian Church USA and other mainline liberal denominations that have gone down this path. Will it matter? It doesn't seem to have mattered to the Episcopal Church USA, at least to its leadership. Entire dioceses have left. Many, many congregations have left over this and similar issues. And they say, that's all right. We're still going to continue down this path. Even the voice of worldwide Anglicanism warning them, saying, please don't do this, has gone unheeded. One wonders whether it really matters in the end, or whether or not there's a different agenda at work here than, of course, no agenda even like faithfulness to Scripture, but what agenda really is driving all of this. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll be right back.
Let me know. Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now?
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Villa in Finland is online. Villa, welcome to Issues Etc.
This thing about forgiveness, I think Jesus forgave on the cross, and so did Stephen, and this shows only that the Holy Spirit can do that. That was what I wanted to say.
Villa, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Finland.
Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues Etc.
LCMS Inc. canceled this? You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about next week churchwide assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, getting a bit of a preview, perhaps things to come. Pastor Mark Chavez is our guest, vice president of an ELCA reform group called Word Alone Network. We'll respond to your questions and comments about next week's churchwide assembly. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our phone number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Are there congregations already openly poised to, depending on what happens here in the next week, exit the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America that you know of?
I don't know of any particular ones. I mean, I've heard that, you know, some congregational leaders and pastors are considering it, but that's not something that we really have looked at.
It seems as though the leadership, and we've talked about this before, Mark, the difference between the leadership and the laity is a pretty broad chasm on these issues. Is that a fair assessment of the state of things in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
I think it's very fair, Todd. I mean, let's just start with something as basic as the Apostles' Creed. I think lay people would be very shocked to find out that even though they're pastors and theologians of the church, they'll say those words along with them on Sunday morning. In fact, a significant number of pastors and theologians don't even believe what's in the creeds, and in particular the second article, denying the physical resurrection of our Lord on the third day and the virgin birth and so forth.
I guess I'm wondering whether or not the highest levels of leadership, namely Bishop Mark Hansen, who's a presiding bishop, have come out and said what they prefer by way of the direction of this largest Lutheran church body.
Since he was elected presiding bishop of the ELCA the first time in 2001, he has been very careful not to make it public where he stands, which is in sharp contrast to his ministry up until that point, both as a bishop in the St. Paul Area Synod and as pastor of congregations in the Twin Cities. It was known for decades that he was a very public advocate for the approval of same-sex sexual relationships.
Rick is listening in Fredericktown, Missouri. Rick, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. Here's my question. Is there any conversation among the conservative pastors within ELCA concerning the connection between women's ordination and the advancement of the homosexual agenda?
It's a very good question, Rick. Thank you.
Occasionally the topic comes up. Certainly the radical feminist theological agenda has played into this, but the president of the Word Alone Network is an ordained ELCA pastor, and a significant number of our leaders are also ordained women. So there's no correspondence necessarily between those two issues, other than the fact that radical feminist theology certainly plays into the hand of those who favor same-sex sexual relationships.
Well, let me suggest this. How would you respond to someone who says, and I will be that someone who says it because I do hold this position, that in particular the way that Scripture is handled with regard to the ordination of women, remarkably similar in the way that Scripture is handled when it comes to arguments, alleged arguments, for the ordination of gay and lesbians. The same kind of passages are either disregarded as kind of socially normed by their times or the bigotry of the author or no longer applicable to the church today. The same treatment of individual passages or mistreatment of individual passages is at work there. The hermeneutic seems remarkably similar to me, Mark.
Yeah, I think among some people, Todd, that's true. I mean, it's pretty simplistic, and as I recently pointed out, ironically enough, literalistic readings. I mean, for example, the advocates of these things who say that Jesus never said a word about homosexuality is in some ways the most literalistic reading of Scripture, just because you can't find words from Jesus about where he, quote, you know, uses the word homosexual. On the other hand, I think there are some significant differences. You know, obviously we're divided from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on this, but, you know, a number of us in the ELCA who still uphold the authority of God's Word over all matters of faith and life and do believe that all of the Bible are the inspired words of Scripture, there we can wrestle with Scripture and come to very different conclusions about the role of women in the church. I mean, for example, it's not as though women weren't leaders in both Israel in the Old Testament period, as well as the early Christian church. On the other hand, the Old and New Testaments consistently proscribe homosexual behavior and relationships. So there's no gray or any differences at all within Scripture on that issue.
When all is said and done after this week is out, I won't ask you to predict, but I will ask you to tell us where you think the general political will of the people who will be gathering for this churchwide assembly representing the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's congregations, where do you think they stand on this particular issue?
You mean overall in the ELCA or just the people there next week making the decision?
Yeah, the ones who are actually going to decide this for the rest of the church. Is there any way of knowing what direction they're planning on going, at least as a majority?
No, there really isn't, Todd. The best you can do is look back at the previous churchwide assemblies and compare how those assemblies voted with respect to where most of us are at in the ELCA. I mean, for example, the easiest one to point out is the 2005 Churchwide Assembly. A year before that, the ELCA released, or actually less than a year before, it released the results of a study done in the ELCA that showed that 57% of ELCA members are firmly opposed to the blessing of same-sex sexual relationships and the ordination of practicing homosexuals. And only 22% were strongly in favor of changing our policies. So if the 2005 churchwide assembly reflected that division within the ELCA, then it should have been a slam dunk. It should have been an overwhelming supermajority who voted against the proposal to allow for an exception process to ordain practicing homosexuals. But in fact, it was, you know, a bare majority that voted against that. So based on past churchwide assemblies, we know that the people who show up there tend not to be an accurate reflection of where most ELCA members are at. And again, part of it is that 40% of the voting members are pastors and 60% are lay. And since pastors lean more in favor of this already, it's slanted just because of that percentage.
Generally speaking, and finally with only about a minute here, how much has the spirit of relativism, of truth, right and wrong, influenced the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, especially when it comes to the sexuality issues?
Oh, very much so. I mean, underneath it all, that's finally what the biggest problem is that people reject the notion that their absolute truth, which immediately rejects the Bible and a biblical worldview, and then you end up with these proposals that essentially leave it up to individuals to decide what's moral, what's immoral, what's right, what's wrong, what's true, what's false. And that's exactly what's being proposed with this novel definition of a bound conscience. It's pure relativism and individualism taken to the extreme, where each individual sinner decides what's right and what's wrong.
One other question regarding the lay people who may well, 1 week from today, see a headline that says, largest Lutheran church body votes to ordain gays and lesbians. Do you think the average parishioner in the ELCA will be shocked to read that about their church body?
Yes. I think they will be shocked. I do.
Pastor Mark Chavez is vice president of an ELCA reform group called Word Alone Network. You'll find a link to Word Alone under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org. Mark, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're welcome, Todd.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is called Mission from the Cross. It is sad to note that much of these changes called for in these mainline denominations like the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America are done explicitly in the name of carrying out the mission of the church. We'll be better equipped to minister to the culture if we do this. We'll be better set within the mindset of society if we do this. If we don't do this, if we don't approve gay marriage, if we don't ordain openly gay and lesbian people to the pastoral office, we will harm the mission of the church. Or, more likely, the argument is made, if we keep arguing about it, it will harm the mission of the church. So let's just do it and stop arguing and get on with the mission of the church. A very different picture than the biblical picture of Christ's mission to bring his cross, his forgiveness, his death and resurrection to a world of sinners through the preaching of law and gospel and the administration of the sacraments that he has given the church to dispense. You can get this biblical perspective on the mission of the church from our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for August, Mission from the Cross. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. No need to compromise one word of Scripture in order to carry out the mission of the church, the mission from the cross. Or you can order Mission from the Cross, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, we're going to talk about sex education, the lies your children are being told. Dr. Miriam Grossman will be our guest. Stay tuned.
There ain't no good guy. There ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me, and we just disagree.
Village Lutheran Church in Ladue thanks God for his saving gift of faith through Christ and invites you to share in this gift by worshiping with us Sunday mornings at 8:15 or 10:45. We're conveniently located 1 mile west of the Galleria on Clayton Road. For more information, call 314-993-1834 or visit villagelutheranchurch.org. Village Lutheran Church, ordinary people loved by an extraordinary God. VillageLutheranChurch.org.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over Casserole Inn. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown, in Kirkwood, and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
An ironic alliance.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Planned Parenthood likes to promote itself by focusing on the variety of services it offers to women. In a quest to appear as a women's health agency rather than the largest abortion business in America, Planned Parenthood highlights its offer of breast exams to women. The funding for these often comes from the Susan G. Komen Foundation, a well-known and respected breast cancer research group. This is a strange partnership, since abortion and birth control are both known to increase a woman's chance of breast cancer. To learn more about the Abortion Breast Cancer link, visit abortionbreastcancer.com.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.